Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Alex, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Is there any concern with the fan base about not playing starters and number one Patrick Mahomes in what will be 20 days by the time they kick off on Sunday?
Yeah, there's definitely been some concern, but I don't understand it. And maybe you guys can help me a little bit with it, because when we talk about Andy Reid and bye weeks all the time, we say how good he is. He's, what, 19-3 or so out of bye weeks, and then suddenly it becomes one more week and people start freaking out and referencing the 15-1 Packers. And I just don't think, based off of other conversations we've had with some that have played the game, that if you are prepared, which there's no reason to believe that Andy Reid and a Patrick Mahomes-led team are not going to be, that you have to worry about the rust factor. And this team doesn't start first quarters all that well. So even if against Cleveland on Sunday, we're sitting there and the Browns are up early in that game, I don't think it's any different than what we have seen. There's been plenty of instances throughout this season where the Chiefs have actually had poor first quarters. So I don't buy into the rust versus rest conversation whatsoever, and certainly not with these guys.
Alex, when I look at the Chiefs this season, they easily could have gone 16-0, right? I mean, I know that wasn't necessarily their goal. Their goal is to defend, and that's tough enough. So maybe they were holding something back throughout the year. But is this Chiefs team, is it worse than they were last year? I know that's tough to say for a team that went 14-2.
So I think they've been bored with their performances throughout this year. Even Travis Kelce had said that the challenge for them, one of the most difficult things for them, had been being patient throughout the year. And a lot of people had watched the Chiefs here over the last month and a half, and they just look like they're going through the motions. They just look like they're bored. And so that's something we didn't see a year ago. But I also don't think that means that they're not motivated and hungry, which is the narrative that's kind of been out there. Like, they're not as hungry. You can't possibly be as hungry. But immediately after the Super Bowl last year, and I'm talking about on the field, Andy Reid was on our station earlier this week and said that Tyrann Mathieu right away said, you know what? This is a lot of fun. We want to run it back. Let's run this thing back. And that became kind of the slogan throughout the offseason and through this year. So I think the motivation is still there. The area where you could argue that they're not as good certainly is the offensive line, if we're getting specific. And that's just because their right tackle, Mitchell Schwartz, who you guys are familiar with a little bit in Cleveland, obviously, he's been hurt much of this season and never really got going early on. And a lot of people feel like that back injury that he has might have been even from training camp. And so they've been going with a number two right tackle for much of this season. So the offensive line's more vulnerable than they were a year ago, no question about it.
Alex Gold joining us, 6'10", in Kansas City. How would you rate the defense right now? It feels like a bit of a roller coaster from what I watch, but I'm not on the inside stuff like you are. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, this Chiefs defense, a year ago, they were horrific the first 10 weeks, and then the back end, they turned into an elite defense. So the bar where they started this year was already higher. Like, this defense's floor is not nearly as low as what it was a season ago. So they're a more consistent defense, I guess, is actually how I would describe it. The one question has been getting pressure on the quarterback. And Frank Clark did not have a very good regular season. And so does he flip the switch again like we saw last year? And a lot of people have been wondering, is it going to be playoff Frank Clark again? And if it is, I don't think this team is a team you can go and beat. I think they win the Super Bowl again if Frank Clark flips the switch and turns it on. Chris Jones in the playoffs was fantastic last year. So if those two guys are able to find that extra level again like they did, then this defense will be as effective as they were a year ago, because this secondary is much better than it was a season ago, with some of these guys that I think name-wise across the league probably aren't as recognizable. Legarius Sneed's been one of the best rookie corners in all of football, and what a steal they found with him. And so this secondary, Tyrann Mathieu, the usual suspects in that regard, this defense has been a lot better overall as far as across 17 weeks of a season than they were a year ago.
When I mention John Dorsey to a Chiefs fan, Alex, what do they think?
Well, we had this discussion about John Dorsey, and I think if you look at both of these rosters, like, I think the impact was greater in Kansas City only because you view John Dorsey as someone that couldn't manage the cap. Like, that's probably the memory some people will have, the Jeremy Maclin situation where they mismanaged the cap so much they had to move on from Maclin. That caused a huge issue between Andy Reid and John Dorsey. But overall, you step away now a few years later, I mean, the Chiefs aren't a Super Bowl team without John Dorsey. I don't think the Browns, obviously, are in the position they are today without John Dorsey. The guy just could never manage the cap. He's a hell of a talent evaluator. But he might have drafted three Hall of Famers for the Chiefs, looking at Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And so I think as we get further away from it, people will probably appreciate John Dorsey more and more. And it's why I do think he'll get another shot at being a general manager, as long as he's willing to delegate a little bit and understand that he's got to have the right cap personnel around him.
Yeah, because, and I'm sorry to cut you off, Lima, I got to follow up with that, because I was asked the same question with you guy, or not with you personally, I was asked this with Carrington Harrison yesterday afternoon, and I said, you know, it's still fresh, and so there's a lot of people, because he's gone and now the team's good, that there's going to be some people who say, ah, he's a bum. But I, you look back and you go, well, there was some really good things that he did. It's just for us, you mentioned the Maclin thing and that Andy Reid won out. I think he kind of maybe overcorrected in his time in Cleveland because he picked Freddie Kitchens. And honestly, Alex, that was the disaster that got him fired here. I think both fan bases could look at him and go, yeah, he does a good job. I think if a team was looking for a GM and they were watching this game on Sunday, you got to give John Dorsey a lot of credit.
Oh, his hands are all over both of these teams. I mean, you know, Kareem Hunt certainly now in Cleveland, and what he's been able to do with the Chiefs even in later rounds. I mean, there's plenty of pieces, even if they're not in Kansas City or Cleveland, that still were, that are involved on playoff teams. You know, I know you guys just went up against Pittsburgh a week ago. Steven Nelson wasn't great in Kansas City, but he still got a nice deal for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was another John Dorsey draft pick. So I think it's interesting you say that maybe he overcorrected. I guess that's somewhat understandable after what happened in Kansas City. Do you guys feel like he's deserving of another GM shot? Because I certainly do, based off of what he can do when it comes to evaluating talent.
Alex, I wondered about some of the comments that Sammy Watkins had earlier in the week, and we didn't make a huge deal about it and whether or not they're worried about the Browns. Browns fans right now, a little sensitive to some of the remarks that were made by, you know, the Steelers before, during, and after that game. How seriously are the Chiefs taking the Browns, or at least maybe the fans? I know players always say they're taking teams seriously, but the fans right now, did that effort by the Browns last week get their attention?
I don't think overall it changed a whole lot of the opinion for Chiefs fans. And the Sammy Watkins stuff, it's funny to me. I don't find it all that big of a deal. I didn't even think the Kareem Hunt post-game locker room Instagram video was all that big of a deal where he said, you know, next week is personal. I think some of this has kind of been blown out of proportion just a little bit. And it's, you know, it's funny, Sammy Watkins, who may not even play, and Odell Beckham Jr., who isn't playing in the game, have been two guys that have been talking quite a bit, I guess, a little bit on social media. I don't think overall the Browns performance changed people's opinion too much. I think on a national level, maybe it has. We've had a couple different people on, and it seems as though now people are trying to talk up the Browns a little bit more than, to me, what they actually have been for much of the season, which I think is a very solid football team. But you know, people are saying the Browns have been a hot football team entering the postseason, and you guys know there was the Jets loss not too long ago. So I disagree with the idea that the Browns suddenly are a much more dangerous team. I don't believe this game's the blowout that my co-host, for example, believes it is, and some others at our station. I think the 10-point spread might be a little rich if you're a Chiefs fan. I think this is closer than people believe. I do think Kansas City ends up getting a victory. I just think overall this offense is going to kind of have an aerial assault, if you will, on that Browns secondary.
That's just blind homerism by your co-host. As a person who is a homer, I know that very, very well. Can I ask you a weird personal question real quick?
Go for it.
All right. I don't know. If you would have said no, it would have made things real awkward. How many times when you're on in another city do people accidentally call you Ari?
So never, actually.
Are you serious? Oh, my God.
Never. People will tweet at me. People will tweet me that, and I love Entourage. It's fantastic. But Yeah, people haven't actually done that on air, but I appreciate
it. That makes it even sadder because I've teased you coming up, and I guess how many times have I done it today, Owen? Like four times?
At least four times, yes.
I called you Ari, and it's like, no, it's Alex. And my brain is just in a different way. And I almost called you Ari when I was calling you Alex in the middle of the interview. And then Lima said he's thinking about it, and he almost did it too. We apologize. We know you're a fine host and a good guy. But I know that I just for whatever reason, it's just brain fart city this morning, and I almost called you Ari on the interview here. Alex Gold joining us here on the show. For this team, is there any sort of look to the future for this team? Like, you got to get it in as you switch things over, or is it just that Patrick Mahomes is a Superman and he'll turn anything, any amount of chicken bleep into chicken salad?
I mean, it's more the latter there at this point. I mean, I think we're living in a golden age kind of right now when it comes to Kansas City sports, and now we're suddenly spoiled because of what Patrick Mahomes is capable of. But you guys know, and I've been trying to tell like some of our listeners this too, the window always seems wide open, and we just know it closes earlier than you think. Now, I believe Kansas City's window is as large of a window as you could possibly have in sports right now, but it does close sooner than you believe. But what they did this past offseason, to me, at least, you know, puts them in a position for the next two or three years, though, still to be one of the best, if not the best, team of the AFC, just given the contracts that they handed out, the guys they took care of. I mean, Travis Kelce is taken care of, and he was 31. I didn't like the deal at the time because he's 31. I was wondering if there'd be a downtick, and boy, did he make me look like a fool this year. He's having the best season of his career, and he's the best tight end in football. And so I think they have the key pieces still intact. It gets more challenging. They're going to have to draft, like, in the later rounds, which Brett Veach, L'Jarius Sneed, the guy I mentioned earlier in the corners, he was someone that nobody expected a whole lot of, and that was a steal. They have an undrafted guy in Turk Warden who's actually played significant time this year. So if they're going to have this window be as large as a lot of people here in Kansas City believe, that's something they're going to have to do. And in short order, the last – you know, one or two years, they have actually done a really nice job evaluating talent. But, you know, this year is the one where it feels like you kind of have to have, if you want to have the real discussion about Patrick Mahomes having any shot, to me, at being able to chase down Tom Brady at some point during his career.
Alex, we got a chance to hear the interview you did with Joe Jerevicius, one of our favorites earlier in the week. Really enjoyed that. And one of the things that he liked to get into is just that passing rhythm that Baker Mayfield has been able to get into with his receivers. And I wonder if that's something you guys could be worried about a little bit this week, because Jerevicius drawing on a lot of his past experiences in the NFL, obviously playoffs and winning a Super Bowl. Is that something you guys are a little nervous about at all? Or do you just think that you have such a big edge Patrick Mahomes over Baker Mayfield, it won't matter?
It's definitely, if it's coming down to the quarterbacks, I think people have looked at it. If you make this game about Mayfield and Mahomes, obviously everybody in Kansas City is feeling great about it. As I said, I just don't think the secondary of Cleveland, even with Denzel Ward being back in the mix this weekend, that they have any answer for Tyreek Hill or for Travis Kelce. And so, you know, it's funny you bring up Joe Jerevicius. I was made aware of something about 2 minutes before we started talking.
Two minutes before.
So I just listened back because I was made aware of it. I'm actually going to put some blame on your program director, Andy Ross, who I've talked to before. This is all going on Andy Ross. I looked at the number. My co-host texted said number, said, "Hey, Joe." And apparently, I believe, is it Greg Bush?
Yeah, Greg. Greg.
Well, it's Joe now.
He responded back like it was nothing. And so,
Greg's
as we're
a character.
Doing the interview, as soon as Joe, or fake Joe now, started talking, I turned my mic off and I said something to my producer. I said, "I don't think that's Joe." He put his hands up and we kept going. And here we are. I found out a short while ago that was not Joe Jerevicius, but the same phone number on the email for Joe Jerevicius and Greg Bush was put on there.
Someone who spent time in Cleveland, not only, of course, grew up in the area, but played for the Cleveland Browns and was able to win a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Prior to that, he is former Browns wide receiver Joe Jerevicius, kind enough to give us some time. Joe, great to have you on the show. Just what was your reaction, though, as you're watching that game on Sunday, knowing the long, long years, obviously, of suffering Browns fans?
You know, it was just a great opportunity to just watch the Browns really, you know, get over the hump a little bit there. You know,
Oh, we absolutely love this. Alex, he's now, they're calling Garrett Bush Bro Jarrivicious, which just works out perfectly.
Well, can you get us the real Joe Jarrivicious then? I mean, I feel like that's the least thing we can do at this point.
I think we got to get you the real Greg Bush.
Alex, we thank you very much for the time. Thank you for having fun with it. All the very best to you and yours. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Alex Gold joining us, 6'10".
That's great.
In Houston.
Who told him?
It had to be Andy.
It wasn't Andy.
Who told him then?
I don't know.
You did?
No, I didn't tell him.
Maybe someone tweeted him.
Yeah.
I was just asked for Alex's number. So.
Who now I
bet people have tweeted
him
because yesterday when we brought it up the first time, somebody went and found their show is called Cody and Gold and they have a show account and the show account tweeted it out about having Joe Jarrivicious on and somebody tagged our show account in it, kind of going peeling the onion on the thing.
I love that he called him Greg.
I love that Garrett actually just went right through. It was like when you get off that charter flight and you step foot in Houston or you step foot in Kansas City. Like, unbelievable. Garrett's on at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you're listening. 216-578-0092. All right, how are we feeling? How are we feeling about this? I want to know, are you nervous? Are we ready to go? I say we're ready to go. I say it's house money. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.